lost their minds. Just victims of the in-house drive-by. They say don't you say how high. Yeah. Just victims of the in-house drive-by. They say don't you say how high.
Alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
To know, and I need to know now.
You might be listening to Radio Freak America.
Sorry, that was an invalid entry.
Fuck you.
Try again. Please enter the number you wish to call. Be certain to enter the area code. You will have 179 minutes to talk.
Good morning, St. Lucie West Middle School.
Hi, good morning. My name is Bob Schaefer. I'm from the AP. Could I speak to Ms. Helen Roberts, please?
Oh, please. This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. This is Bob Schaefer from the Associated Press. I was wondering if I could talk to Ms. Roberts, please.
Hold on 1 second. She has the door closed. Let me check.
Thank you.
Schaefer? Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. She is in a meeting with a teacher. Could I get your number, or would you like to...
Well, actually, I just wanted to get a quick reactionary to Ms. Manzini's, what did she say, scheme to defraud. We've already reported upon the young boy. I'm sure you're well aware of it. I just wanted a quick reactionary statement. I'm doing a very small piece on this. So, is there an assistant around, or...
Well, would you like to talk with the information office of the school board?
That'd be perfect.
Okay, let me transfer you there. I'll try. Let me give you the number, just in case.
Okay.
It's 772-468-5839, and I'll try to transfer you now, okay?
Beautiful. And who would I be speaking to there?
Al Shogren.
Al?
I'm sorry?
Al Shogren?
Shell.
Shell, okay.
Shell.
Thank you.
Hi, you have reached the District Communications Office with the St. Lucie County School Board. Please leave a message, and we will return your call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
Stank, be honest, are the chicks hot at NASCAR races?
Well, yes and no. Do you want the evaluation of the ones with teeth or without the teeth?
The ones with their real teeth.
What?
Please.
Swap teeth back and forth as they eat.
Oh, that is Dude.
That's what you gross. Get for a restart.
Dude, I'm not even going to ask, dude. Okay, I'm going to start out with a little bad news. No, I need to start out with telling you that Stank and Mute are in the house.
Yep.
With Duel. How you doing, Mute?
I'm doing pretty good,
Are you? Right on. Okay, I want to start out with some bad news. And I'm gonna take the show nice and easy. I'm gonna pace myself. We're gonna start out with some bad news. The archive server is going away. Yes, it is a sad, sad truth. But the archive server will be going down this weekend. Grab what you need, grab what you can. The reasons are many. But in return, 50 episodes will be hosted on oldschoolfreak.com.
Really?
Yes. Now that's a fast, fast server. So.
Now, wait a minute. What episode are we recording right now?
51.
So that would mean, how are people going to get episode uno?
Well, I don't know. It'll have to be special. Maybe I'll give them away. I'll send them on CDs. I don't know. Maybe I'll leave one up. I'll leave 1 through 51 up for a week until 52 comes up, and then I'll take 2 off for certain reasons. So, again, you'll have fast downloads, 50 episodes on oldschoolfreak.com, but get your stuff while you can. There's some good stuff up there. I actually like to keep mirroring Outbreak Magazine. I really enjoy it, and he likes the mirror, so I'm going to try to keep mirroring that on oldschoolfreak.com. But the server is going bye-bye, and I enjoyed it, and I wish I could keep doing it. There's a lot of stuff I'd like to do, but it just is not in the cards right now.
But you know what we can do? I do have some space, as we've discussed, over on my server, so if you want to start moving the oldest of oldest episodes over there, and mirror them on my site. That space is not an issue, and that's also fast download right now.
That'd be nice. You know, there's other places, too. I think Nick's got some old apps up.
Right.
Maybe some other people do as well. But, yeah, maybe we can do that. We'll put 50 on Old School Freak and then put the others on Stank, so stankdog.com. That would bring people to your site as well. I've got a lot of things to talk about this show, so I got to pace myself. Got to take it nice and easy. We've got a lot to talk about. I've got some email. I've got some submissions. I've got some fear-inducing media from Gluco. I've got some old school I want to talk. I got the regular dumb, boring news. And then we got freak news and possibly a review of Mandrake 9. I know I told everybody that I was going to try the Nopix hard drive install and or Red Hat 8. I haven't done either. I actually picked up Mandrake 9, and you might want to listen to this review. I want to start out with a long but meaningful email from Logan 5. Logan 5, if you are familiar, used to be Quasimofo. Hey, Duel. I thought it was about time I wrote and sent in a big thanks for putting on RFA and for reaching the big 5-0. Yeah, baby. Thank you very much. You guys and gals rock. I learned something new on every show and have gotten the motivation to get into Wi-Fi and start playing with Linux from the cool stuff I hear from you every week. I've been listening since last summer after discovering the show on Rant Radio and have been pillaging the oldschoolfreak.com archives. Oh, that makes me sad. Listening to each ep in order from number one on. In episode 8, you did a show on art and technology, and I thought it was awesome. In addition to being a lifelong tech junkie, I've been a professional graphic and web designer for a number of years now, and this past November, I got sick of working for the man and decided to go freelance full-time. Power, baby. Listening to that episode hit home on a number of levels, and there is much more to the whole art and tech thing than you didn't have time to get into, but your guest on that show, Slipping Away, touched on a lot. All in all, it was a great show, and I'm glad you had it archived so I could discover it. If you should ever feel like doing a similar show, keep me in mind as a possible contributor, and I will. Anyway, thanks again for being there. You guys have given to me, so I think it's time I gave something back. Hell yeah, he gave something back. I just finished an RFA desktop picture that I'll be sending in a separate email. And he goes on, let me know there will be more to follow. Pasta La Visa Logan 5, the user formerly known as Quasimofo. Very nice. Thank you, Logan 5. If anybody has been to oldschoolfreak.com recently, you have noticed, actually today, which is Tuesday the 18th, the latest post is that very wallpaper from Logan 5. When I received that, my mouth was just hanging open. I couldn't believe it. It was so awesome. Everything, the design, the idea, the logo, it was unbelievable. It was art at its finest, and I appreciate it immensely. I'm going to spread it everywhere. Of course, it's on my desktop. It's going everywhere I can put it. It's unbelievable, you know. And check this out. Maybe I'm silly, but this is like the first professional, you know, wallpaper for oldschoolfreak.com. So it's very cool. I hope there's more. I hope there's more from him and everybody else.
And I also should thank him, too, because he gave me a nice link box that I put on the front of my site already that's just wonderful. Just, you know, I couldn't have described it or told anybody any better what I would love for it to look like. I mean, it's like he could read my mind.
Yeah.
And the quality is, like you said, I mean, this is professional work. I mean, this guy's, you know, got a talent, and it's just amazing to see people do that kind of stuff. This week, in general, has been very good for art. You know, not only the link box and the wallpaper, the art he did for you, but I also got another piece of art from Epiphany over at Port 7 Alliance. And Nick84 gave me a link box and some new logos for the forum that I've been trying to do myself. And I literally spent weeks trying to redesign this stuff. And I just wanted to kind of recolor them a little bit and change the letters. And even that would just prove too difficult for me. I just don't have that artistic talent. And these people just blow me away with the talent and skills that they have. It's just amazing and truly... truly, I appreciate it, and I have nothing but respect for people that can do this kind of stuff, and I know you feel the same way.
Oh, no doubt. You think we were ranting on about this, but no, it's important stuff. This is amazing, beautiful work with probably feeling in it, too, you know? I'm looking at Epiphany's wallpaper right now. It's on my desktop on my Windows side. My Linux side has the Old School Freak wallpaper, and it's just the freaking coolest thing. He's got a freaking text file in there, man.
Then it's like old school text file.
Yeah, man. A freaking text file in there. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Get on the top of it. That's what I thought. You know, that was what really pushed it over the extra, you know, not besides the graphic part of it and the beauty of the graphics that he put together, but the choice of what to put on it, you know, was just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And I particularly like the new RFA spokes model. Very nice. Very nice. So thank you very much for those submissions. Keep them coming, man. We've got a lot more to talk about, actually, that people have been submitting. Got an email from Gluco, and it was about basically the media injecting fear with all this, you know, the possibility, probably the inevitability of war right now. And he actually sent a link to a story. I'm not going to read that one. I've got another one from my local paper that actually hits a little closer to home because he's actually, well, admitting to what the media does. Scaring the country is no small job. Hammering it into people that they need to panic as quickly as possible while continuing to, quote, live normally takes expertise, commitment, and no small sense of irony. And he goes on talking about stocking up on goods and taping up your houses in plastic. Do people really do that? Are people that... Oh, I almost said it. I'll say it. Are people that dumb? Seriously, are they doing that? Have you guys seen anybody that's doing that?
I saw on like CNN or something people going to like hardware stores and buying duct tape and,
oh my God,
and gas masks,
batteries, flat, dude, idiots.
There are some people doing it, but just to put one word of defense in there, there is a huge blizzard going on up north too, so people might be stocking up on stuff for that reason.
Okay, well,
legitimate.
I'm talking about weapons of mass destruction, and hey, if a nuclear bomb goes out, this plastic and duct tape is going to protect
exactly.
you. Yeah, come on now. I need to stock up on food. You know, hey, McDonald's isn't going to close down tomorrow, bitch. All right? You'll get your food. So thank you, Gluco, for that. And it's there. And they admit it straight up. There was also, actually, the same page, again, in my local paper, protest in this city's largest crowd estimates in the thousands. Last Saturday, there were large peace rallies. I hope you did what you had to do. That's all I got to say right now. So that was some... you know, it was like Y2K like silliness. You know, people stocking up on food and rations. What the fuck are you doing? God damn. Go to work. Sleep. Sleep and obey. All right, let's kick it freaking old school, man. I'm sick of this. Let's have some fun. I actually got to go to one of my favorite places. Anyone's throwing shit around here? How's that? I think I was rubbing my hands earlier. Can you guys hear that? I went to what somebody close to me calls the dump, but what I like to call heaven, and that's right, my favorite place, Electronic Surplus. Yeah, baby. Oh, man, did I score. I took in some crap that I had, right, and got some trade. And I got some awesome old school stuff. Check this out. Your Gateway to Packet Radio. Wait, let me see. What's the year on this? Great book from the ARRL. Yeah. And check it out. It may be, if I can find the year, 87, I think. That's right, 1987. But guess what? That's a lot of good info in there. That's very, very applicable to today's ham technologies and RF hacking. Oh, RF hacking? Did I say that? Let's go to page 1, chapter 1. Big letters on the top, the radio hacker.
Ooh.
That's right. Call me radio hacker. In the past, I was called Radio Ham, but that was before the dawning of the computer age and amateur radio. That's right. It's all about packet radio, and I scored this book. It's like brand new, too. So there's one.
And in 1987, they still had some appreciation and some realistic definition of what the term hacker referred to.
Exactly, exactly. They had the true spirit. Next thing I picked up, and just because it was cool, there's nothing in here really technologically that I'm going to do, but just the nostalgia of it. Popular Electronics from February 1982. It's $1. The Buyer's Guide to Telephone Controllers. Awesome, dude. Stored memory, automatic redialing, call timing. Unbelievable. But check this out. The best thing is it. Oh, I hope I can find it quickly. I'll just describe it. Oh, here it is. I opened up right to it. Okay, here it is. It's the Buscom Soft Touch 80 auto dialer. What it does is it, remember the old phones, you know, with the round handsets, you know, that you could jam in the acoustic couplers? Well, what you would do is you'd unscrew the mic and then screw in this soft touch auto dialer, and it was a mic and a touch tone dialer all right there in the mouthpiece. Awesome! I want one. If anybody has one, you go on eBay, let me know, man. We'll do some haggling. And they got other cool stuff in here, you know, these regular Cobra touch tone phones, auto dialers. Very cool. In fact, this is so much fun for me. I'm going to read a little bit here. Let's see. Once upon a time, there was just one way to dial a phone, the tiresome rotary dial twirling that made each outgoing call a chore, especially when you did a lot of calling or were trying to get a number that was often busy. With the advent of 10-digit direct distance dialing, now 11 digits in most parts of the country, the chore became even more burdensome. Yeah, and it goes on. Great, great article. I bought it just for that. Next, oh, it gets better. Way better. This is Computes Gazette. Now, my first computer was a Commodore 128. How about you guys?
Oh, man, I had a TI-99-4A.
Yeah.
Commodore 64.
I thought you were going to say an abacus or something, man. You're like, you're old school, aren't you? Now, how about you, Mute?
It was this weird one. My dad showed, it was called a luggable.
A what?
It was like a couple, it was heavy. It was definitely heavy. It had a handle. It had a tiny little monochrome screen built in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore. I wish I had it. It was awesome. We played like, what else? What did we have? We had Centipede on it. We had this game called Tapper. It was
Tapper?
Game.
We had beer people. To the people down there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember Tapper, yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
They made one with root beer because it was too...
controversial, yeah.
Okay, I'm looking right now. Okay, so my first computer, I don't know if I said this, but mine was a Commodore 128, and this magazine is all about Commodore 64s and 128s. But I bought it specifically, first of all, because it's cool and I like to reminisce. You know, I wasn't doing all this hardcore assembly that they were doing in here. Oh, here it is. Page 57. It's an ad, actually, from Activision Home Computer Software. Did I say the year? 1985. I'll read the ad. You've stumbled into an unknown computer system. Now what? Welcome to the next generation of home computer software. Plunge into every hacker's dream, the most mysterious game ever. These are reviews. An open screen says, log on, please. That's it. No instructions. Of course, this is an ad for the game Hacker by Activision. Awesome game. What more can we say? Well, someone as clever and as smart as you certainly wouldn't want any hints, right? So all we'll say is that it was created by legendary designer Steve Cartwright, whoever that is. Okay, so the game Hacker in 1985.
I want it.
Oh, me too, man. That would be so much fun. Of course, you'd get it on the 5 1/4 floppies. That's why I bought this. That is just so cool. And then, of course, all the games.
I remember using the 8-inch floppies.
You had 8-inch floppies?
Oh, yeah. One of the first jobs I worked at was working on a mid-range computing company, an AS400 platform, and we'd do backups on the big floppies and on some 6250 reel-to-reel tapes.
Whoa, that's before my time. How much do those big 8-inch floppies hold?
Oh, geez, I don't even remember, to be honest with you. I really don't.
Really? My teacher had, one of my teachers had 8-inch floppies hanging on his wall. I loved it. He had punch cards and all that stuff. Okay, but now, the ultimate. No more magazines, no more books. The ultimate. That's right. I got some hardware from Electronic Surplus. The ultimate. The radio. It's a General Electric 7-band boombox. That's right. It's got CB, TV, AM, FM, air, and weather. Is that 7? I don't know. It's got everything all in a boombox, and it works. Oh, here it is. CB, TV high, TV low, AM, FM, PS, air. I love it. It is so much fun. It looks cool. I wonder what year. I never saw a year on it. But this is weather tuning on the back. This is just the ultimate piece of hardware. I mean, if you dig RF at all, in the least, you would love this radio. It is so cool, and it works great. I might put a better antenna on it. We'll see. So, that is the ultimate find right here. I actually had my eye on this for quite a while, and I brought enough stuff in to get it from him. Just doesn't get any better than that, man. You know, I got to give shouts to Memes. I got to give a shout to Meme because she understands the old school. She loves that old school stuff. There's adventure in it. You know, you got to figure it out. You don't know what it is. You got to research it. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of old school technology. Can we just go on about old school stuff the whole show? No, it'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it?
Well, we are old school freak.
Yeah, that's right. I guess so. So we're going to have to stop, though. Sorry. Let's get into some regular stupid news. Actually, no, this is actually an important piece. And that's what you heard at the beginning of the show. I made a little phone call myself. Didn't quite go very far, but that's okay. It was fun nonetheless. A poor, unnamed 11-year-old youth in Florida...
Oh, man.
...might be charged with a felony because he went back and he social engineered his teacher, who left her computer totally open with no password... and tried to change his grades. He went back in the class, fooled her, went back in the class, and was changing his grades, and I think he got caught by another teacher. Don't quote me on this.
I don't know how much social engineering was involved. He basically said he left something in the room and went back.
For an 11-year-old dude, that is social engineering.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Come on. I mean, hey, I say he's a smart kid. You know, what? Suspend him, you know? SWAT him, spank him. I used to get spanked in school. Big deal.
Hey, man, I knew the title on a first-name basis.
That's right. So, but charged with a felony, a scheme to defraud, I think, was Mancini, the Attorney General, said? That's absurd. Totally absurd. You were saying mute?
Yeah, I'm thinking, all right, at that age, you're getting reason. You don't completely know what you're doing.
Amen.
The kid was smart. That kid would knew. He could probably contrive this in his head. Just like, oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be like a video game, maybe. That's what he's thinking.
Yeah, exactly. You know who's not smart is the damn teacher for leaving her computer wide open.
Yeah, you don't leave stuff like that in the public school. In the public school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do that. There's protocol.
No doubt. No doubt. So this poor kid.
But if he's going to get punished, she should get punished for leaving it wide open. And what they're doing is hiding behind their policy, which states, quote-unquote, whatever, unauthorized access or something. Well, I'm sure there's also a policy that says that you should have your computer password-protected and not left unattended and unsecured. So if this kid is going to get punished for that, I don't see why she shouldn't get punished just as badly.
I totally agree. And what else did I hear? Something about intellectual property? What? What the fuck is that about? Intellectual property? Who's intellectual property? His grades? I don't understand. I do not understand. This is like...
And neither do they. That's why they're trying to apply these stupid laws that don't apply and don't fit. It's because they don't fucking understand the own shit that they write.
No doubt. And in fact, they stated this, that they were using him as an example. They stated that. And what a horrible, horrible example. An example of what? Your idiocy?
What are they going to do to him? They're going to say, bad guy, and then put him in like a playpen for like 3 years?
Yeah, no doubt.
They're not going to take him to prison. They don't. That is in prison. There is no prison. I mean, even if it was, I mean, it's a felony. Yes, that goes on his record. He's screwed for life.
Well, he could go to juvie, and that is prison, man. Anything that takes away your freedom is prison. That is bad. And he should definitely not go to any kind of detention at all. Detention center, not detention after school. Detention after school is fine. Suspend him, give him detention for a month.
But cheated. The boy went in and changed his grades. Now there's punishment that needs to come from
that. Cheating. It's,
you know,
cheating.
He came out of school for a few days and let his father beat his ass or whatever they need to do.
Exactly.
Their own child.
It's cheating. It's not defrauding when he's 11 years old.
Right. It's not like he stole 2.2, no wait, 5 million credit card numbers for crying out loud.
Segway.
Segway! That was the next story. I actually don't have any paperwork on it. All I know is that originally I read on securitynewsportal.com, which is a great site, by the way, that 2.2 million credit card records or numbers were accessed. None have been used yet. That's actually, I do remember this, 1/3 of 1% of this nation's 560 million credit cards, which is absurd. And then just recently, I think Forbes updated that number to 5 million. That's
5 million.
That's quite a chunk of change right there. As far as I know, none have been used. That's still, just the fact that it's been done, come on now, please. I think it was one company that owned that database who was accessed. They get the lack of security award. That is huge.
Because it was like a clearinghouse. They just bring, or like a pool of all the numbers.
Is that what that was?
Going through it, I believe. I'm looking at it right now. It's just a company that was involved with both. It's 2.2 million Visa and MasterCard accounts. The two companies announced on Monday. Hacker breached the security system of a company that processes credit card transactions on behalf of the merchants.
Wow.
Got in the middleman.
Now, I hope, maybe this is just me being paranoid, but I hope, you know, this was a credit card transaction processing company, and the first thing I thought when I read that is I hope nobody read my 2600 article on batch versus interactive processing and use my transaction processing ideas and stuff to do something like this. I hope I'm not, don't have a 6 degrees of separation going on here, but...
Thanks a lot, Stank.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks a lot.
What am I going to do? All I can do is present information. If people use it for those purposes, you know, that's them.
Maybe somebody could have read it and actually used that information to secure their own system. Oh, no.
Yeah, if the people that got hacked into would have applied those before the outsiders did, then...
That's right. Maybe that lady could have locked her computer and the little kid wouldn't be in this situation. No. Anyways... So that's a big number of anything, dude. 5 million of anything. That's a lot to be accessed.
That's definitely the lack of security award.
Yeah, amen to that. Now, the U.S. This is actually a little dated, February 10th, from govexec.com. U.S. Cyber Army, quote, Cyber Army stands ready for war. President,
ooh.
Yeah, check this out. President Bush has ordered. The government to create formal guidelines for fighting a cyber war, the Washington Post reported Friday. In cyber combat, In cyber combat, the military would attack its opponents with bites instead of bombs. Nice alliteration there. Using electronic weapons to disrupt or destroy an enemy's communications, power supplies, and other critical infrastructures. Okay, I'll give them that. You can actually, I'm sure they can do something... I'm sure they're smart. I'm sure they got... It's probably Air Force.
Oh, you know what it is?
What?
Three letters. D-O-S.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're going to do.
I thought maybe they were just going to settle this whole thing in a giant team game of Counter-Strike. I thought that's what they meant by cyber.
I wish, man. Sign me up, man.
Or maybe they're going to use, like, Major Latin and just get in because, you know, that's so widespread.
You know, whatever they do, I think this, you know, honestly, I don't know if the president is buying into this hype, but I really think this cyber warfare and cyber terrorist, it's just a bunch of hype. It's I don't know if it's media created or if the government creates it and then the media propagates it. I don't know. But I really don't, honestly, war is a horrible, terrible thing. And you know what war is? War is killing humans. All right? It's not, I'm not making light of it. I never have, and honestly, I think this cyber terrorism and cyber war does make light of what war is. I think people listen to that, oh, wars, fighting computers, you know, someday it'll be like Star Trek and we'll report to burn booths, you know, when our number's up. No, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be dirty, it's going to be nasty, women are going to be raped, kids are going to be killed. That's what fucking war is. It's not fucking cyber nothing, motherfuckers. All right, sorry.
Tell us how you really feel.
Whew, okay.
Thought you said you were going to stay calm.
I tried. Okay, everybody. All right, I've got something to admit right now. Everybody, this is actually the second take of this show, and it's going rather well, I think. You know, knock on my plastic lab table. This is actually the second take, and it's going really well. And that's because I was going too fast. The first one, I was just, you know, I was going off. The energy was too high, you know. And you can't do that. Trust me. If everybody, please, try do a radio show, do one show, you know, try it out, get the message out to the people, whatever. And you'll find out that it takes a lot out of you. You can't just... You got to have a high energy level, but you got to pace yourself, man. I'm telling you. You have to. You got to save it up for rants like that. Okay. After a rant like that...
The truth. Actually, what happened is Wintermute belched into the phone, and we had to start all over again.
Good freaking job, Mute.
Thanks, hey, Mute.
Drinking your freaking Jolt.
Jolt in excess, man.
All right.
Well, I think we've all been up pretty late the last, but we were talking about that. You've been up since, what, 2 a.m.?
2 in the morning, man. I got up pounding away on the board this morning, so...
I was up Monday, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Holy moly, and Stank was up all night, all weekend, actually, swilling beer.
Yeah. Hey, man, how else am I going to bring the toothless chicken? And I got to get them drunk.
That's right, man. Hook up their trailer to your rig. Tow them home. They're in the front now. Say hi to them, dude, for me. Okay. To lighten the mood.
Like we always do about this time.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, dude.
Yeah.
Freak news. Mute's fave. Okay. Did anybody check out the Quest conference call today? I unfortunately did not get a chance to. I'm hoping they'll keep it up. I don't know. I'm hoping they'll keep that call up so you can go check it out at any time. But I'm thinking it's just up for today. So actually, after we record, I'm going to try to record some of that and let everybody listen to it. But guess what? There's another call. And actually, check this out. Freak news is so important to me, I have actually given it its own folder. That's right here it is. The Freak News folder, baby. So let me get the good stuff out of the Freak News folder. There's actually another conference call. You know what? It's going on right now.
Yeah.
As we record, Tuesday night, it's 10:30 Eastern. This call started at 10 Eastern. There's a company called, and I'm assuming this is how you pronounce it, Teleworks, T-E-L-E, capital W-R-X. They're actually in Boca Raton, Florida. What's up with Florida, man?
You tell me, man. I've been trying to figure that out. I've been living here for 6 years.
We got the Florida trifecta going on tonight. So this Teleworks is a CLEC, which is a competitive local exchange carrier, meaning they can either resell or use the local loop of the incumbent local exchange carrier to sell telephone service, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to start offering local telephone service, I don't know, nationwide, or, well, I'm assuming just in Florida, called LocalWorks. I actually went to their site, Teleworks, I believe it's teleworks.com, and you can see all of their little plans and all their little sales things have something works on the end, very witty.
Now, just for the listeners, that's TELEWRX.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. No consonants in that last in that last syllable. So, teleworks.com.
Telerex.
Oh, very good. They set themselves up for that one.
Yeah.
So, this conference call is going on right now. I've actually posted on the Stank Dog forums, and I'll give it to everybody now anyways. Maybe you can just mess around with it later. It might go every Tuesday. I'm not sure, but...
It might loop.
Yeah, who knows? The number is... Well, no, I did call it before the 8 o'clock time or the 10 o'clock Eastern time, and I got some really funky music, so who knows what happens. But try this number out. It's 503-767-1200, and the PIN is 6852, and you'll press pound after the PIN.
Now, where's 503?
I'm assuming it's Florida. I don't know. I don't have my...
305. Let's see. 305 is Miami. I don't have access to any
resources right now as I record. I can't do anything. If I do anything, I've learned this. If I do anything while I record, and I thought I had a relatively fast computer, it'll skip. We had some really good shows, and like in the beginning and ends, obviously when I was messing with stuff like show notes or something, they would chop chunks out. So I'm not doing anything. So If you can, let me know what 503 is.
I'll post that up in the forums.
I'm assuming it's Florida, just because they're based out of Boca, so.
Boca's 561, so might be like maybe their headquarters are up in North Florida somewhere. I don't know. I'm not familiar with North Florida's area codes too well.
Yeah, and that school, Port St. Lucie or whatever, where that kid got busted.
Yeah.
Their website, they have 561 as the NPA. It's actually 772 now, I think. And they haven't even updated their site. So, bastards, they can't secure their computers or update their website.
He was trying to fix the number.
What's that?
You think he was trying to fix the number?
That's what he's trying to do. Yeah, he was like, I'll update their website for him. Okay, now, there's something actually that I am very happy about. Oh, where'd it go? I lost my freak news here. The House, when was this? The 13th. The House okayed the National Do Not Call List. This is actually really, really good news for everybody, not just freaks, but for everybody that has a phone in their house. The House voted 418-7 on Wednesday, that's last Wednesday, to allow the Federal Trade Commission to collect fees from telemarketers to fund the registry, which will cost about $16 million in its first year. I'm assuming costs will go down. So this is really good news. Let's hope it goes far. This comes as welcome relief from telemarketers who have interrupted us during dinner time far too many times, said Representative Billy Tazin, chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee and sponsor of the bill. He's from Louisiana, by the way. And he said all Americans will have a choice to opt out of unwanted telemarketing calls and enjoy a little privacy at home for a change. Amen. I got it.
Amen.
I'm going to give it, you know what, where's my... I'm going to give him 50 cents. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate that. Everybody appreciates that. And next on the Freak News, did I have any more? Yes, I do. Actually, Vinaj has been in the Freak Underground quite a bit lately. Redbox Chili Pepper put a big piece about Vinaj and was pimping it big time, said he loves it, and said everybody go out and buy it. So That's the only recommendation I need. We actually talked about Vinaj quite a while ago. The ever astute Rax found it. I don't think he's tried it out. I don't think anybody I've known has tried it out. But once Redbox said, "Hey, buy it," you can't beat it. It doesn't have three-way calling though, which I don't like. But it gets. Here's what it is basically. You get a resident. All right, here's what it is. It's like voice over IP. You hook it up to your cable modem, and it becomes your phone. So you got phone over the internet. And you pay $39.99 a month for unlimited calling throughout North America. That includes all 50 states. And you can get a number from any number of states. You can actually choose your number. You can live in California and get a number in Washington State. That could be very useful if you're away and you have a lot of family and friends in the state that, you know, you want them to call locally. Save them a lot of money. And you as well, probably. $39.99 for unlimited long distance in the 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, but guess what? It gets better. I guess a lot of users have said, hey, give us Canada, baby, and guess what? They did. That's right. So not only do you get the 50 U.S. states, including Alaska and Hawaii, but you get all of Canada for $40 a month. I want it. I want it really bad. Unfortunately, right now, I've got all my... my ports and my router are filled up with computers. I guess I could... sacrifice to use Vinaj, but it doesn't have that three-way calling. I really need that three-way, especially for doing the show. So
yeah, see, that's the thing. It's almost like a dream come true for the show, except
no three-way. Yeah, it's got. Let's see what else it has. It's got voicemail, caller ID, call waiting, call forwarding, call transfer, call return at *69, ID block *67, repeat dialing, area code selection. That's what I was talking about earlier. International call block, Bandwidth saver, I don't know what that is. Web-based account management, voicemail retrieval, and real-time inbound-outbound calling activity. That's very cool. That's very, very cool. And international calling at significantly reduced rates. Tel Aviv, 6 cents per minute. What else we got here? Hong Kong and Paris, blah, blah, blah. 6 cents a minute. That's actually a really good deal. I don't know if that's just to those countries. But anyways, if you want to learn more about Vinaj, you can go to phonelosers.org. Check out what they have written there. Go to Vinaj.com, that's VONAGE.com, or call 1-VINAJ-HELP.
Is yours Vonage? I call it Vonage, but...
Vonage? Yeah, yeah, who knows? I'm...
I want to know what the real one is, because I call it Vonage, so...
You know, call it whatever you like. Just use it, because it sounds like a really cool product. Oh, and I had one more thing. Where is it? Oh, no, I can't believe I lost it.
Thinking about that, the three-way call, they should be able to... It would be another account, maybe, but...
Yeah, you know, there might be a way around that. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, that's one thing I'd like to do.
Let's say you bought two lines. Maybe, but I think they could offer it.
I thought they talked about that. Hold on, they talked about... I saw, like, other packages here that were less...
Yeah, actually, when I read that article when I read Phone Loser's message about it, you know, one of my concerns was the quality of it, in which they also were concerned, and they said they were just amazed at how good the quality was. So it did pique my interest, and I called the number to try to get some information on when and if they were going to be able to do three-way calling, because, like I said, it's like a dream come true for a situation like ours.
Right.
And unfortunately, I sat on hold for about a half an hour or so, and I finally said no.
Whoa. Yeah, don't blame me. That's not good.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want
to... Now, to me, I don't know...
Oh, to such a good... But, I mean, the fact that the price and the service is so good, you know, I don't want to bring it down with that. That may have just been... It was late at night, so, I mean, there could have been reasons, you know.
Yeah, well, so we know that for sure, technically, the service is good. To me, I don't know how you guys feel, but service, as in people helping me solve my problems, is very important to me. That's why I use AT&T, because they give me the service that I want, that I desire. I'm not a slave to convenience. I want to talk to a human, and I want some help, damn it. I'm paying you a lot of money, you know, for granted a good product, but I would appreciate some service, and that's what I get from AT&T. So hopefully Vonage has that good service. Let's hope. You guys feel the same way? I bet you do.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
I figured.
Everybody, one of the places that a lot of companies cut costs is on their support, and they go to these computerized phone systems, which they're fun to play with, but they're pretty much as useless as tits on a boar hog. Maybe that's
what?
But that's another country saying. You guys could dwell on that one. But
one of them NASCAR women whispered that in your ear.
But I mean, it's just, you know. I like you said, you want help, and you're paying, you know, part of the funds. They don't, when they cut all these costs and everything, how come they don't pass that on down to the customer?
Right.
You know, so it's like they're taking, cutting costs and putting it more into their pocket. Well, what we want and what we're paying for, what we should be getting is the service. And in this country, not just, I mean, in everything in general, it's like when you go to even to a McDonald's or to a restaurant or to our favorite store, Compusa, and anywhere nowadays, it's like, it used to be, when I was younger, God, I can't believe I'm talking like this, but when I was a kid, you go into a store and people would say, hi, how are you? Can I help you? What can I do for you this evening? You know, there was such a thing as service and appreciation of your business. And unfortunately, nowadays, the attitude is, look, we are Compusa. There's nowhere else to go to get what you need, so what the fuck do you want?
Right.
But that's the attitude now, and that's, unfortunately, what's happened to service in this country everywhere. People are like, listen, we're McDonald's. We don't give a fuck if you want to come in, and we don't want to talk to you. Just tell me what you want to eat. I've been in where they'll just stare at you and wait for you to say. They won't even ask anything.
Right.
They'll just look at you like, yeah, what?
Exactly. What you going to do, bitch? Where? That's right. What if you're in a small town and you only have one CompUSA? You walk in, and they might as well say that. What you going to do, bitch? You going to go somewhere else? No.
Exactly.
You come in here. And we understand. I know, and I'm sure everybody else does too, that the key word here is business. They are in business to make a profit, right? And people cost a lot of money. But like Stank said, you want to increase your profit, but why take away from us? Why take away that service? Why don't you just improve something on your end? Become more efficient at something. Improve your technologies. Do something, you know, instead of screwing us.
Yeah,
I guarantee
you. The big change for this. Oh, man, am I breaking you off of... Were you getting ready to go somewhere? Because I can go... I have a rant I can go off on right now.
Bust it, dude.
Man, all right. The thing that's changing this, or potentially changing this, was the onset of web commerce, of internet commerce. You can go on to sites where you can get customer support, where you can get help, where you get people responding to emails, some better than other, of course. You know, but companies that you can call, and you can get better prices, you can get competition, you can get things that are more obscure, more rare, and you don't have to pay an arm and a leg for them. Well, I heard day before yesterday that very seriously, they are actually going through with passing this internet tax.
Bullshit.
This is just the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. We have businesses and people who built their foundation of their business around the internet, around the way it works, and that is their competitive advantage. And in this country, you have to differentiate yourself, your product, and your services from other people by a couple different ways. One of those ways is specialization and customization, which is very expensive and very hard for a startup or somebody new to invest in and get into. And the other way to differentiate yourself is through pricing. And these are basic business principles you'll learn in college, but by pricing and by becoming a low-price leader, you can go in, and that's where you can find your niche or your market, and you can go in and, like, for example, for a very simple example that most people can relate to is buying DVDs, movies, and books on the internet. Those are the most, you know, widespread items that you can find out there, and instead of having to go to the bookstore and pay the retail price or the list price of the book, because, like you said, we're the only bookstore in town, where else are you going to go? Well, guess what? I'll go on the fucking internet. You know, and you can go to any number of places on the web. You can order that book cheaper, even after you have to pay shipping, and usually they have different shipping deals because they have no overhead, no buildings to pay, no taxes and stuff like that, so they can get away with actually forming and establishing a company on the web and making money for themselves. Now, our fucking government is going to stick their goddamn noses in where they don't belong again, something they don't understand, don't know what the fuck they're doing, because they smell money. They're like sharks with blood. They smell money. So now they want to put an internet tax on buying stuff over the internet, and that's going to take away the competitive advantage. It is going to cripple, and I mean this. This is not an exaggeration. It is going to absolutely cripple all the startups, all the mom and pops out there that are trying to start a small business. They're going to absolutely be crippled by this tax, because suddenly when you go to buy that book that you used to be able to get for $4 or $5 cheaper online, now they're going to add a tax to it. It's going to bring it up to close to the same price or even more so than going to your local bookstore. That's going to cause all the online commerce to disappear because they've lost any competitive advantage. Why stay in business?
That's right. Goodbye.
There's no point in it. So the fucking government is going to step in to something they don't know what the hell they're doing, like they're so good at doing in this country, and they're going to ruin something like that, and e-commerce is going to absolutely disappear as we know it. The only ones that are, you know who's going to be left online? All the bricks and mortar stores are going to have their online front, their online locations, and they're going to be at the regular prices as their bricks and mortar stores, so nobody will use them. It will be a waste. You will have BestBuy.com will be the only place to get electronics online, or CircuitCity.com. That's it. All those other ones, 800.com, gone, buy.com's going to be gone. You know, all these sites are going to disappear because they no longer have any advantage or any reason to stay in business. You've just absolutely ripped the carpet out from under them. How are we going to say that we support small businesses, we support people bettering themselves, when we're going to yank it right out from under them like this government does?
Goodbye, small business. Hello, internet wasteland. That's right. And think about it. E-commerce is a nascent technology, a nascent market. It's, you know, it's emerging. It's still very, very young. And look what they're doing. Look what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're not even letting it get started.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many, you know, mom-and-pop stores that are online right now. I know lots of people. The Electronic Surplus that I go to, they do tons of business on eBay, for crying out loud. And that's just like it. If you have to pay tax on every transaction, who knows what it's going to add to their costs. And knowing you're going to put these small people out of business, they're going to be stuck with all this junk in their stores, man. Dude, that's a good rant, by the way.
Yeah, I had
very
to
good rant.
Take a drink after that one. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take one, too. Oh, man.
That made me mad. I was talking to, I think it was Jen Ryan, I too, we were talking about this at when we showed up to that 2600 meeting that didn't actually end up being a meeting because no one showed up but us. We kind of talked about that, and it was just, it sickened me that this is actually coming back to light.
That's
amazing.
Well, let's hope that people do hang on, because again, this is a burgeoning market, e-commerce. You know, you think, oh well, you know, the dot-com boom, you know, the floor dropped out of it, and it's dead, it's gone, whatever. No, it's still alive. It's still evolving, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, you know? The dot-com boom is, which is the term that
the bust. Yes, that's
places are disappearing and dying because of simple, poor business practices. These were a lot of techies and a lot of people that got into something without knowing business principles.
Right.
That's why they busted. It's no other reason than that.
Yeah, bad business planning.
Yeah.
You know, venture capital, no profit, yeah. Okay, we're not done with freak news, by the way. We've had, again, a lot of submissions, especially freak articles, a lot from Icon. One that he sent a while ago, he just sent a couple in. one that he sent a while ago was fax on demand, and I've actually got a number for everybody if you want to send a fax to somebody. That's right. You can actually send the location of the three nearest FedEx offices to anybody you choose. That's right. So give this number a call, 800-463-3339. Follow the menu prompts, and you'll get the ability to fax three FedEx locations to anybody you choose. I think, did I have any more freak news? I think that's it for the freak news. So, I'm sorry to see it go. Sorry to see it go.
FedEx is a proud winner of one of our past lack of security awards, so kudos to them for being twice.
That's right, yeah. They just keep giving. They just keep giving. And you know what? I just keep giving, because I am going to review for you, and this is a little dated, but that's okay, Mandrake 9. I actually tried Mandrake 8.2 very, very briefly. I put it on my laptop just to check it out. Actually, it came on the CDs that you get from Linux Format.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a rad magazine. Have either of you tried Mandrake before?
I did. I think what was my first?
It was your first?
No, I think Red Hat. Well, I'm having trouble. I think maybe there was this period I had this really crappy laptop. It was this compact, this Presario, like 1010.
Uh-huh.
Like 133 megs. 16 megs of RAM. It was really slow, but I could never get like the LCD to look really right. I was bouncing between Red Hat, SUSE.
Uh-huh.
I think Mandrake was in there, and some magazine distros. I never got anything to look beautiful, so I went just back to 90-95.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you've bounced around quite a bit. I've got a Red Hat 7.3 box. I've got SUSE 8 with no X on my laptop, and now I have Mandrake 9 on a dual boot machine, 98 and Mandrake 9. It was the one I had, SUSE 8.1, which sucks.
Wasn't Nopix based on Mandrake, or no?
Debian.
Debian. Okay.
Nopix is Debian based, and I cannot wait to try that one out. I've got a box, the box Meme gave me, I built, it's ready, waiting to do that, just haven't had the time, but this, I was really, I'll tell you right now, I'm happy with it. I'm very, very pleased with Mandrake 9. Let's start with the installation. First of all, everything looks good. You know, it's a beautiful distro. The installation isn't quite the three-click install that SUSE gives you, but it's pretty straightforward. There are one little thing, maybe two little things during the recommended install that which you know, somebody new to Linux trying it out should do. Do the recommended install that they might have a little trouble with. You know, a good guess though will get you through it. After the install, everything configures very nice. It found everything, all my hardware beautifully, set up the network. It did not set up the firewall in the initial setup like, let's say, Red Hat does. Didn't like that. I chose, one of the reasons I actually got this was GNOME 2. I've been dying to try it out. It includes KDE 3.0.4, I think, and GNOME 2. I wanted to try out GNOME 2, so I chose Mandrake. I installed GNOME 2. I dig GNOME 2. I've heard bad things about it. I like it. I like the two bars. It's really cool. I think, you know, there are some places where, you know, certain controls and or applications are in multiple spots, you know, but hey, I can figure that out. I don't think that's that big a deal. I can always tweak the menus if I want to anyways. It comes with Evolution, it comes with GFTP, which I dig, you know, nice and simple. Instead of Bluefish, it came with an HTML editor called Scream, I believe, and it's crappy. I mean, the preview is crappy, don't like it at all. I'm going to get the new Bluefish, which 0.9 came out today, I think. Back to Mandrake. The control center, much like Yast 2 and SUSE, gives you one spot to control all the configuration of your computer. It does something a little funny. What it did, I actually went there to set up the firewall. I clicked on it, and it didn't tell me anything. It didn't say anything, but my CD drive kept trying to access a CD. And I was thinking, what's going on? Shouldn't it tell me to insert a CD if it wants to? It didn't say anything. So I guessed, of course, and grabbed the first CD, open it up, threw it in there, and of course it went on to set up the firewall. So that was bad, not good for a beginner. I mean, if for somebody to guess that, if they're just trying Linux for the first time, it's not very good. Other than those couple of little things, I'm very, very pleased. It's fast. It's semi-stable. I've had it lock up twice on me, but that was when I was opening Nautilus, and I'm pretty sure Nautilus is pretty fat, so I think that's what locked it up. Other than that, it's very quick. I use Galleon on it. It's nice. It works really, really well. Everything, again, worked right out of the box. So Mandrake 9, two thumbs up. Oh, before I forget, actually at work I use some software called ESP Print Pro. It's Easy Software Products, and I use their Print Pro software package. And it's basically, it's their own little, you know, client, I guess, for printing. And then they have tons of drivers. That's really what you pay for is the drivers. You can download the software for free, but you got to pay for the drivers. I use that at work a lot. I mean, I set up, you know, big network printers with their own IP and web server, and all the way down to little Canon BJC, you know, 50s, those tiny little black ones that you can put in your pocket, you know. That software is great. I really love it. It's definitely worth the $49, I think, per license, whatever. I highly recommend that. Well, this comes with cups, and also, by the way, but it uses cups, and it has ESP. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Print Pro. Please, if somebody knows, let me know. But you set up the software in a web, an HTML interface, but it's ESP. I don't know if it's like a dumbed-down version of ESP Print Pro or if it's just an HTML interface to the same software. I don't know, but it works great. I'm really happy. In fact, I think I have – no, I don't have it, but I've got an old printer – an HP DeskJet 500C, actually a hand-me-down. It works great, by the way. And it, I set it up beautifully and easily with this ESP Print Pro web interface software. Loved it. So I really, really like Mandrake 9. Again, two thumbs up. I'll give it a dollar. Here, hold on. There's 50. Come on now.
Perhaps you should put real money into them.
I should. So I definitely recommend Mandrake 9, especially, I think, well, no, I can't do that. I was going to say I recommend it for a beginner. I would have to say SUSE is much more aligned for a beginner. Now, Mandrake.
It's ironic that you say that because I started off with SUSE. I think it was 6.25.
Oh, that's a difference. That's okay.
It blew me away. So, and I then that was the first one I tried, and that's when I went over to Red Hat and started trying, you know, learning with Red Hat. So, you know, SUSE must have changed a lot.
Oh, they have. Trust me. My first, I have SUSE 6.3, but I've really started using it at 7.1, and the difference now 8.0 is just, which I don't think you can get anymore. If you can, grab it. 8.0 is just, you know, literally three clicks to install and everything works. It's great. Mandrake is damn close. I think if you're, let's say you've used Nopix a couple of times, I'd say Mandrake is definitely for you. Everything, the printing blew me away. It uses ALSA. I really dig. I'm sure there's lots of other things I can't remember right now, but I do enjoy it. I'm using it right now, and it's getting me back into Linux. Seriously, after 8.1, I was kind of soured, man, because I was doing everything on 8. SUSE 8. I mean, everything except recording the show and streaming the show. Everything else, web development, email, coding, everything on Linux. And I tried 8.1, and honestly, it soured me. I was pissed off. But now it's gotten me back into it. I'm really, really digging it. So check out Mandrake 9. I highly recommend it. A couple of little things, you'll get over it. You'll be fine.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you had to say about the newest Nopix. I just burned a copy of myself earlier this week and tried it yesterday. And, you know, I'm pretty limited on what I can test and what I can know is good or bad. But
right.
I was very impressed with it. The first time I'd ever used it, I put it on. I did not try it on my laptop yet. I booted from my Red Hat box. I booted from the CD and just to see if it would work and recognize my hardware. And it worked wonderfully. It didn't have a single problem. It was beautiful to look at. I mean, the layout was very smart and well done. And, you know, as it booted, I didn't have to answer any questions. There was nothing that it confronted me with that was confusing. So from a newbie standpoint, I didn't have any problems with that at all. So I'm looking forward to see what you think about it.
Oh, it is amazing. I cannot wait to try the hard drive install of Nopix. You know, and if you, let's say you just get, you're just starting out with Linux. You get a little comfortable with it. You get a little more comfortable with it. Guess what? You can start screwing around with Nopix. You know, I think it's like F2 or something. You get more boot options. Try different window managers. Try text mode, for crying out loud. Try it. You probably tried it on a DHCP network. Go try it on a network that uses static IPs and set it up that way. Learn. Do little things and learn step by step all the way, and you can do it all from a bootable CD. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. It's great.
Right, why don't you? How about you go on the record right now? Because we get this question a lot.
What's that?
People asking, what's the best distro? What's the favorite? Well, let's not leave it that vague. But what is the best distro, in your opinion, for the total Linux newbie?
SUSE 8.0.
There you go. You heard it right from the horse's mouth.
SUSE 8.0 is simple to begin with, and then it can become extremely powerful as you progress. You know, you could start out total easy GUI again, three-click install, everything will work, and then you can move on to any kind of platform, from a P2 with no X, which is what I'm running now, and it'll still, guess what? It'll still be pretty easy with YAS2 and NCurses. It still stays pretty simple. You will learn. You will become more comfortable. It's stable. It's beautiful. SUSE 8.0, highly recommended. Hey, that was cool. Thank you for asking that question.
Oh.
Hey, what the hell? Let's go around. What's your favorite? What would you recommend, Mute?
Not sure. I've only done anything. Like, I've never had a Linux box for a long time.
Uh-huh.
So I always need the Windows 2000 because I always somehow end up going back to Windows because I need something really bad or school gets me.
Sure.
But I have a Linux box behind me right now. I use it occasionally. I had it set up. I had, like, a lot of the security stuff running. I had Tripwire up. I had just really messing it for 2 weeks straight on. That's Reddit 7.3. Because I remember I set it up when the time you said, like, yeah, do Reddit 7.3. It's really awesome, you know.
It is.
Really easy to use. That's what I set it up on. And I like because I know I can keep stuff, like, secure because it has it up to date. So you can always run that and then get the latest stuff.
Right.
Catches.
No, SUSE has the YAST online update U.
One I've been using is Red Carpet. Wonderful, wonderful program.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's that?
Red Carpet, I think that's for GNOME. For
really?
The GNOME interface. I think that the application is Red Carpet that will automatically update any to the latest patches and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. I've never heard of that. Awesome.
It's fairly new, and it works wonderfully. And, you know, it is, like I said, it's part of the GNOME interface, but I think it does support, it has different what they call channels. So it detects and realizes that I'm using Red Hat 8 right now. So it has a Red Hat 8 channel, which it looks and detects what my Red Hat 8 packages, if there are any updated versions of them, as well. So even though it is a GNOME application, it will update your other Linux general operating system files besides just the GNOME X environment.
Whoa, that is handy. That is very handy.
Much better than the default one that comes with Red Hat 8, which I forget the name of that one, but that one's just horrible, I thought.
Really? So that crap out on you or something?
Yeah, it freezes up all the time, and you have trouble connecting to the server, and it's Red Hat servers that they're connecting to, and you get disconnected, you can't get through a lot of times, and then I think I saw that I saw a post saying that they were going to start charging for that service at some point, and I was like,
lovely.
Like that.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong, Red Hat is a very good distro. I particularly like 7.3 because I haven't used 8.0, but 7.3 is very good, but I would say, again, for the straight-up Linux newbie, I hate to say that, Linux beginner, I would take SUSE 8.0 over the Red Hat 7.3. And another reason why, if I may, is the default install on SUSE, again, is KDE. It has, how do I say it? It's got more, you know, the only way I know how to put it is Windows-friendly applications. It looks, I hate to say this, too. It looks a little more like Windows. It'll make you a lot more comfortable. Red Hat 8, or pardon me, 7.3 with the default install is GNOME 1.4, if I'm correct. There's not much to it. Looks kind of flat. It doesn't have all the bells and whistles, you know, those little apps that Windows users probably like and enjoy that the KDE 3 on SUSE 8.0 has. So, again, man, go for that SUSE 8. Hey, man, this turned out to be a pretty damn good episode, if I do say so my damn self.
Yeah, I think so too.
I really enjoyed the Freak News this week. I'm going to check out those Quest conference calls and the Quest and Teleworks conference calls. Maybe I'll get a little recording playing next week. I hope you enjoyed the slight bit of social engineering at the beginning. And enjoy a little more Rage Against the Machine on the way out. Stank Mute, thanks for being here. I'll see you guys next week, all right?
Bye-bye.
Later. Later.